This week on The Bioneers, Revolution from the Heart of Nature.
The fact is that we have reached a point which is really a crisis or an emergency.
I'm Neil Harvey. This week, our guests include NASA's chief climatologist, Dr. James Hansen. It's the Clean Energy Climate Challenge on The Bioneers. In 1988, NASA's chief climatologist, Dr. James Hansen, acted as the Paul Revere of climate change. He warned Congress that climate destabilization caused by the bonfire of fossil fuels had already started. At best, he said, we had the decade of the 90s to avert catastrophe. Dr. Hansen hoped to provoke a national response. He did, but it came from the fossil fuel industry. Big Oil waged the most successful and expensive disinformation campaign in history to sow doubt and delay. Our climate change crisis is also a crisis of governance and leadership. Will we as a society and a global civilization move fast enough to scale up our policies, politics, and economy to transition to a low-carbon economy? In this program, we'll hear from four of the top leaders and innovators working tirelessly to prevent runaway climate change, which they say is the greatest threat humanity has ever faced. Join us for Future Generations Are Screaming at Us, the Clean Energy Climate Challenge, with NASA's legendary chief climatologist James Hansen, community leaders Susan Marshall and John Fogarty, and youth advocate Alec Lewers. My name is Neil Harvey. I'll be your host. Welcome to The Bioneers, Revolution from the Heart of Nature.
Because of the failure of our governments to deal with human-made climate change, this is going to be the moral, political, and legal issue of this century. The status is that there continues to be a very large gap between what is understood about global warming by the relevant scientific community and what is known by the people who need to know, and that's the public.
In the 20-plus years since his first urgent warning, James Hansen probably wishes he had not won quite so many awards for communicating the urgent science of climate change to the public. As a grandfather of four, he likely wishes the world were talking less and doing more on their behalf. In his first book, Storms of My Grandchildren, he wrote, "Our planet, with its remarkable array of life, is in imminent danger of crashing, yet our politicians are not dashing forward. Civil resistance may be our best hope. It's crucial for all of us, especially young people, to get involved. It's our last chance." In fact, Dr. Hansen bravely stepped out of the scientist box and has been arrested several times for protesting coal plants. Dr. James Hansen spoke at a recent Bioneers conference.
The fact is that we have reached a point which is really a crisis or an emergency. The reason that can be is because the climate system has a tremendous amount of inertia. The ocean is 4 kilometers deep. The ice sheets are 2 or 3 kilometers thick. These things do not respond quickly as we begin to apply forcings to them. But that inertia is not our friend on the long run, because it means that there's more climate change that is in the pipeline, even without any additional carbon dioxide or other greenhouse gases. There's going to be continued climate change because the system has not yet come to equilibrium with the gases that we've already added to the atmosphere. And the danger is that we can pass tipping points in which the dynamics of the system can begin to take over and changes can proceed out of our control. That's what we need to avoid.
As science shows, there are mysterious tipping points in natural systems that trigger sudden changes, such as a radical shift in the climate. It can happen in the blink of an eye, in a decade or two. We know this occurred about 8,000 and 11,000 brief biological years ago, but this is the first time it's been caused by the human hand. By 2020, we could face mega droughts and floods, mass starvation in many regions, hordes of desperate ecological refugees, and war over scarce resources of food, water, and energy. Climate change is propelling both natural and human systems toward their tipping points everywhere.
Another obvious effect is that mountain glaciers are melting all over the planet. In the Rockies, the Andes, the Alps, the Himalayas. And that's important because in many parts of the world, the rivers, the water during the dry season, is coming primarily from melting ice. So once these glaciers are gone, it's going to have a huge impact on actually billions of people who depend on the rivers for fresh water. The implication of that is that we cannot burn all of the fossil fuels. We will burn the easily available oil and gas, but what we can't do is burn all of the coal. But what's really happening? In fact, the United States just signed an agreement with Canada for a pipeline to carry tar sands oil to the United States. We're still building coal-fired power plants. So there's this huge gap between the rhetoric of the politicians and the reality. They say we have a planet in peril, but in fact, they're continuing policies that are basically business as usual.
Mounting numbers of cities, states, and local communities in the United States aren't waiting for politicians anymore. They've rolled up their sleeves to come up with local solutions. Nature doesn't favor centralization and systems that are too tightly connected. They're usually too big not to fail. Just one shock can crash the whole system. Remember the banking crisis? Nature does favor decentralization. And in the realm of energy, that looks like localized, publicly owned and run utilities. About 2,000 public utilities operate in the United States, serving more than 45 million customers. Many of their members are voting unequivocally for clean and efficient energy. Public utilities are about 14% cheaper, and they create local jobs. They want action now.
If you look around the country, the utilities that are publicly owned, they're doing the right thing. They're leading the race to develop a green economy, to develop clean energy. The utilities, for example, Austin started a low or zero interest loan program for solar. From that, they created 300 green jobs. They created 30 new businesses in the solar industry. So it does make a big difference.
Dr. John Fogarty serves on the National Board of Physicians for Social Responsibility. As a public health advocate, he's worked to protect Navajo communities in New Mexico and Arizona from the devastating effects of uranium mining and coal-fired power plants so polluting they're visible from outer space. Dr. Fogarty is director of the NGO New Energy Economy in New Mexico.
There's an electric co-op in eastern Kentucky, and it's publicly owned. The co-op was considering buying new coal-fired power electricity. And the company was going to invest a couple $100 million to build a new coal plant. Well, the people said, no, we don't want that. We're tired of our mountaintops being destroyed. We're tired of our water being contaminated. We don't want more mountaintop removal. We want clean energy. So they're transforming. And they actually removed board members who were not supportive of it, and they're taking control. And I think it's really a reinvigorating democracy at the local level, which is ultimately what needs to happen around our energy. And it's happening all around the country. I mean, it's happening in Kansas. The publicly owned utility in Hayes, Kansas said, we want energy efficiency. We want to start saving money. So consumers and the members of the co-op said, let's invest in energy efficiency. And so they did a phenomenal program where the utility invested $1 million in renovating 200 rural homes. These are rural homes in rural Kansas. And they helped save the people incredible amounts of money. But more important, they cut emissions by 13,000 tons of carbon dioxide a year. So here you have rural Kansas contributing to the solutions to climate change, which I think is absolutely extraordinary, because you've got people in Kentucky, people in Kansas, people in California coming together and say, look, the federal government, the United States Senate has failed to do anything. We're going to step up to the plate and do something.
And energy efficiency is cost savings for the very simple reason that you're not building stuff. So, you know, while we would espouse that if you have to build stuff, we want you to build the renewables. We want you to, whether you're the investor-owned utility, the public utility, the local community choice program, that's absolutely the vision that we see, is that we want you to make the right investment. Mm-hmm. But energy efficiency says before you make that investment, before you build stuff, you put stuff in the ground that costs money and also, by the way, still is primarily based in fossil fuels. Look at what you can do on the conservation side. But it's a both-and strategy, absolutely. And climate change is absolutely the big hammer that's leading the way here.
Sean Marshall is president of the League of the California Cities North Bay Division, which represents the interests of 31 Bay Area cities in the state capital, Sacramento. She was recently appointed vice chair of the newest joint powers agency in the San Francisco Bay Area, the Marin Energy Authority. Just north of San Francisco, Marin County and 8 cities were the first to incorporate under California's Community Choice Aggregation Program. The Marin Energy Authority's 70,000 residential and business customers have real economic clout, and they're using it to promote energy efficiency. We could cut our energy use in half just by eliminating waste, and also to buy clean, green energy now.
We are, as I say, now in the driver's seat on the kind of power that we're buying, and so we're starting with 25%, a minimum 25% renewable, but within the next 6 years, our goal is to get to 75% and then on to 100% renewable for all of Marin County. It's a major home run in a fairly short period of time with no taxpayer dollar that is required to do that.
Sean Marshall. Meanwhile, in New Mexico, famous for its wealth of solar power as well as its geothermal and wind, 73% of the electricity comes from coal. John Fogarty is working with high-tech mavens from Google Earth's outreach team to assist an ancient Earth-honoring indigenous society to marry its cultural values and traditions with modern visualization tools to dream a prosperous clean energy future that would send clean energy all over the western states. Seeing is believing.
Using cutting-edge tools, visualization tools, like partnering with Google Earth, to be able to do flyovers of communities, and for example, on Navajo Nation, a flyover of areas that have been very heavily impacted by coal and uranium development. There's abandoned waste piles, huge areas of abandoned uranium mines and coal strip mining that lie fallow, that can't be used because it's contaminated. But we can create solar energy projects there, and it actually has some of the best solar in the country. So helping people to be able to visualize the dream of taking an area that has been destroyed, blighted, and can suddenly be the energy backbone for areas in the Southwest and create jobs and new businesses for an area where it's extremely high unemployment rates. And what we're playing with is putting up solar panels all along the area and then doing a calculation to figure out how much power that could generate for the local community and how much power could generate for other communities who could buy that power. For example, maybe we can come into an agreement with Marin, say, hey, look, if we put up solar over these contaminated areas, we can provide this amount of power and we can make a power purchase agreement with you. It's a way of being able to visualize the future to help not only the people in the communities that have been negatively impacted, but also to reach out to other communities such as Marin or Los Angeles or any community to say, we've got the solutions to climate change and we can do it in a way that creates jobs and new businesses in areas that have been really adversely affected by our current energy economy.
Visualizing the future is creating the future, and it's spreading from Marin County to Navajo Nation. Local power is firing on all cylinders, including governance and leadership. When we return, past and future meet up across generations to change the dream. This is Future Generations Are Screaming at Us, the Clean Energy Climate Challenge. I'm Neil Harvey. You're listening to The Bioneers, Revolution from the Heart of Nature.
Bioneers Radio is made possible in part by John Masters Organics. Feel good about looking good. Learn more at johnmasters.com.
To explore more Bioneers Radio shows and conference videos for free, visit bioneers.org. Local power is going global. In the absence of climate leadership at the federal level, communities, cities, and states are taking the lead as low-carbon laboratories of innovation and of democracy. Sean Marshall.
There's an organization out of New Jersey called Cooling America Through Local Leadership. And they're just a small nonprofit, you know, like so many of us are. And what they really see is the opportunity for local power, whether it's full municipal power, community choice aggregation, solar projects that a local community invests in, whatever the model, it actually doesn't really matter. That what you're delivering is what actually matters. But what they see is a tremendous opportunity to close the loop on community and economic development. So what they're looking to do is to aggregate customers in a particular region that have both pockets of deep poverty and pockets of affluence, like, you know, many regions do. And you've got some of the cities in that particular region that really would like to have the projects. They've got these old, run-down warehouse, you know, it's an urban area, and they want to put solar parks on all of these roofs to serve the customers in areas where they may not want the projects or need the projects. But what they've done is they've put the two together. So now you're not only developing new power, you're providing economic development for a low-income area, job stimulation, taking care of blighted areas and redoing old buildings and such. So it's an interesting model that shows what we all like to talk about in terms of the closed loop.
People from all walks of life, whether you own an RV park or you're a doctor on the Navajo reservation, people are coming together and saying, now's the time. We need to create a new energy economy, and we're going to use all the tools at our disposal, and that happens to be at the local level. This is a really important time, and being able to think innovatively about what you can do in your local community to help us in that transition, anything's possible. And for us to like wait for some leader, some president, or some senator to come up with the solutions is not going to happen. It's going to happen at the local level.
The time is now, and we need a new energy economy, say John Fogarty and growing waves of local communities. Like most indigenous societies, the tradition of Navajo Nation is to make decisions based on the well-being of future generations. Surrounded by his grandchildren, James Hansen is acutely aware of the legacy we're leaving them, the future we're stealing from them.
Our country was established on the concept that all people are created equal. The first sentence of the Declaration of Independence says it's self-evident fact. That leads in the Constitution to the concept of equal protection of the laws. Well, young people are people also. And they deserve equal protection of the laws. And just as the courts, I think, are less subject to money, fossil fuel money, than the executive and legislative branches. And I think that just as the civil rights were gained by minorities through this equal protection of the laws, that we need to use the courts to tell the government to give them their plan. Just as they had to give a plan for desegregation, they should give a plan for how they're going to phase down their emissions. And now I want to introduce the next speaker, Alec Lewers, who, when I met him, he was a kid. And he's still a kid. He's still in high school. He's a high school student, but he's now towers over me. He is an example of what we need. We need to get the young people to understand what's happening and to put some pressure on the older people to give them a fair shake. Alec?
Dr. Hansen is one of the people I admire most in this world. He's the scientist who's become an activist, a movement leader, and a hero for my generation. Yes.
Alec Lewers. Motivated at the age of 12 by an inconvenient truth, Al Gore's climate change film, Alec Lures was inspired to draft the Declaration of Independence from Fossil Fuels. He got it signed by 350,000 youth and presented it to Congress in October of 2010. He's leading an education and advocacy campaign called I Matter to mobilize youth to raise their voices and take action in their local communities to reduce our dependence on fossil fuels. Alec Lures' story is evidence of another approaching tipping point, a global youth quake.
So I'm 16 years old, and I've spent my entire teenage life urging people to take action on climate change. I've spoken to thousands of young people, and I see the same thing, you know, wherever I go. I can tell you firsthand that we get it. You know, no matter how much it seems like all we as youth care about is, you know, video games and friends, we have this inherent sense of calling about climate change. We know that it'll affect our generation more than anyone else, and we are ready for our voices to be heard. Okay. I feel that we as a generation are being called to stop global warming within our lifetimes, which, you know, that might sound naive, but as the great David Brower once said, "I'm always impressed with what young people can do before older people tell them it's impossible." You know, if we as a species don't make the right decisions now, then my generation will be stuck dealing with the disasters the generations before us have created. And the reality is, you know, we don't really have a choice. The earth is calling us. Future generations are screaming at us. We simply must quit our addiction to fossil fuels. So I believe that it's up to us, the youngest generation, to stand up and ignite a movement that will change the mindset of every person on this planet. In fact, I believe it's what we were born to do. Dr. Hansen just laid out what needs to happen. Over 200 years ago, Thomas Jefferson said, "Every generation needs a new revolution." Yes! Well, the time for our revolution has come. It's a revolution that will ignite the compassion in every person's heart so they consider our future with every decision they make. A revolution that will push beyond the politics and the debate of climate change and expose the truth that's been hidden for so long. Climate change is about us. It's about the survival of my entire generation and every generation yet unborn. At the core of it all, our revolution is about sustainability, which I define as this: living as if the future matters. Living our lives in a way that values trees, air, water, animals, and future generations just as much as short-term interests. This is our revolution. You know, we can't vote, we can't compete with corporate lobbyists, so the only thing we can do is trust our government to make good decisions on our behalf. But it's become clear lately that they're not being a good trustee. They are not protecting the land, water, and atmosphere that we as youth need to survive. So the time has now come for us to take matters into our own hands. And that's exactly what we're going to do. I am going to join with youth around the world to take legal action and bring our case to the courts. We will demand that our government commit to the requirements Dr. Hansen has prescribed and begin to govern as if the future matters. This is our revolution, and we are going to make it happen before anyone can tell us it's impossible. So now let me ask you, who is ready? Who is ready to stand up, unite together across generations, and start a revolution that is so loud, so provocative, and so unquestioning that we will be impossible to ignore? Let's make it happen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Alec Lures, Dr. James Hansen, Sean Marshall, and John Fogarty. They say the time is now. The clean energy revolution has begun. They're living as if the future matters. Future generations are screaming at us, the clean energy climate challenge. Many more Bioneers radio programs and conference videos are available online for free at bioneers.org, where you can also find out how to attend the annual Bioneers conference and local Bioneers satellite conferences near you. Bioneers voices are heard more widely with your support. Join by visiting bioneers.org or call 1-877-BIONEER. The Bioneers, Revolution from the Heart of Nature, is a production of Collective Heritage Institute. Executive producer, Kenny Ossabell. Written by Catherine Stifter and Kenny Ossabell. Senior producer, Neil Harvey. Managing producer, Stephanie Welch. Production management, Aaron Leventman and Chuck Castleberry. Station relations by Creative PR. Distribution is by WFMT Radio Network. Original recordings provided by Focus Audiovisual. Interview recording engineer, Jeff Westman. Our theme music is taken from the album Journey Between by Baca Beyond and used by permission of Hannibal Records, a Rykodisc label. Additional music was made available by New Earth Records at newearthrecords.com. For more music information, please visit bioneers.org. The opinions expressed in the Bioneers Revolution from the Heart of Nature radio series are those of the presenters and are not necessarily those of Collective Heritage Institute, the underwriters, or this radio station. My name is Neil Harvey. Thank you for listening. I invite you to join the Bioneers in inspiring a shift to live on Earth in ways that honor the web of life, each other, and future generations. This is program number 0611.
This program was made possible in part by Organic Valley Family of Farms, organic and family-owned since 1988. Learn more at organicvalley.coop. Also by Park Foundation, dedicated to heightening public awareness of critical issues, as well as by the generous support of listeners like you.